cliffcentral.com. Welcome back. We've got Peter Steenkamp, CEO of Harmony Gold, in the studio in the first half hour of the Leadership Masterclass. Of course, he shared with us some lessons around authentic leadership, and that's a wonderful master lesson that you really should listen to. But we're continuing the interview with this very experienced man in the mining industry. There's probably no one in any of the mining companies that does not know him. And he's been around Harmony Gold and left, and now he's back as the CEO and can probably do what he may have seen years before he wanted to do. And it's a wonderful opportunity. But it's never that simple. Before we go there in just a leader interview here, Peter, overview of your life and career. It's pretty much been mining. You studied mining, is that right? And then you continued your career.
Yeah, I started mining in January 1979. I started as a learner miner at Winkelhaak Mines. I actually just went to the mines to kill some time. I was, had to do a national service. So I was called up for the July intake and not the June intake. And for that reason, I had 6 months to kill. So at the time, I had no experience of mining. I didn't come out of a mining background. I just knew somebody that knew somebody at mines, and eventually ended up being a learner miner at Winkelhaak Mines. Finished my national service, got a scholarship to go and study mining engineering at Pretoria University, started that in 82, finished in 85. I had a scholarship from Goldfields, went on the typical Goldfields training program. Spent some time in coal mining, spent some time overseas in a German coal mine. Actually were in South Africa then doing the typical learner official training. It enabled me to do both manager's tickets, both in coal and in metallurgical mines, metal mines. So I ended up, then left and joined Anglo-American. At Valrees, started there as a shift boss and then worked there until I was a chief operating officer, really for ARM Gold. I've stayed there for a very long time in my career. After that, I've been, we did the Free Gold JV. And as part of the Free Gold JV, I was heading that up on behalf of ARM Gold and Harmony. That's how I actually started to learn about Harmony. And then after we listed ARM Gold, we merged with Harmony and I came into the Harmony stable. So I was in Harmony before. After that, I left Harmony, joined first of all Momotsi Gold, which is obviously in the wrong time at the time, and that was quite a tough time to go
through. That was, yes, I remember.
Then went back to ARM, worked in the platinum and coal division, and then was approached by Sasol to join them as a head of the Sasol Mining, of the group wide Sasol Mining. So I ran that for 4 years when I was actually got back into a Harmony stable. So I've been around. I think I've been seeing all industries. I've been to open cast mines, underground mines, obviously most of the time in underground gold mines. Obviously had a very good stint in coal mining. Really loved that. It was really good. I was really at the right time at the right place in Sasol, because we were building brand new mines. We were replacing most of the mines. 15 billion rand investment that was made in coal mines. So I teamed, when I was a managing director at the time, I was, today you don't find opportunities in gold to actually do all of that capital projects. So that was a really good time.
I'm interested in, why did you accept the Harmony job? You'd been here before, you left, and I know this wasn't a Friday afternoon chat between you and Patrice, and then Monday you started it. Obviously, it's not easy to come back. Harmony, the gold industry, we'll talk about that later. It's not an easy industry. So why did you accept this specific challenge?
I think on the coal mining side, all those personal issues are certain things in terms of, how long can I still go and work and that type of things, because, one thing about Harmony, they don't let go of you easily. But there's also other things like, I was really looking for a real challenge again. I knew Harmony very well. I obviously know the chairman very well. I know, some directors very well. And I'm very glad that they had faith in me to actually offer me the job. The second thing with that was, I was really interested in actually taking, a gold mining company again and see if we can grow the gold mining company and make it a really, really good company to work for. I don't want to say it, but there's a lot of excitement in gold mining that you not necessarily find in coal mining, especially when you have a captive market like in Sasol. But I certainly believe that, there's other aspects of the work that I always wanted to be part of, like the marketing of the company and those kind of things that you don't necessarily have if you become like Sasol, because you will, you know, Sasol Mining is not a listed entity on its own. Mm. So you, there's a, you know, the scope of work is a little bit different, and that I saw as a real challenge. And I really would like to, you know, I'm very glad I did make that decision to come to.
Well, is it about a year now? You started in 2016, January?
Just over a year now.
How has it been?
Well, I couldn't have timed it better. I mean, I got in there and the gold price went for a run. Our performance has been improving. I think, you know, the work that Graham and Alvain and the team has done before me is now coming to some fruit in the sense of our grades are improving. So I couldn't have timed it better in terms of a performance. I mean, Harmony is now, I think when I started here, nobody wanted to know anything about Harmony. Mm. Today, Harmony is a very, very popular share and people follow Harmony a lot more. And I really found that people here that obviously are old colleagues of mine, you know, so I've, you know, I could fit in very, very easily. And I've got a wonderful support of everybody, you know, in Harmony, the executive team in Harmony and on the mines.
And no doubt a lot of credibility, of course, and that helps a great deal in trust. We spoke in the first half hour, our leadership master lesson about trust. So all those things add a lot of value for you as you enter this position. The toughest part of your position is or has been what as you came into Harmony?
I think to me, to get the people to support the mine and get the leadership behind me has been not a real issue. I think that is the issue. Harmony struggled for a long time with infrastructural problems. Typically, let me talk about what is actually making operations really performing well. We had all the very lot of unplanned events. Many of them were fatalities that we had, but also things like, for instance, you know, unplanned events in terms of infrastructure failures and those kind of things. So we've done a lot of work in the last year to fix that. And then we are in a much better space now than we've been before. We're not out of the woods, but we are definitely in a much better space. The other thing is to actually find the correct growth strategy for Harmony. We, like any other mining company, has got obviously a finite reserve base. The some of our mines are fairly old and have another 5 or 6 or 7 years left in them. And then we have to replace those reserves. And the question is where and what and how are we going to do that? So we've been through quite a long and very thorough process in terms of finding the right places that we want to go to and how we want to operate, what will be the best fit for us as a company, also give us the best flexibility and also the share our eggs in the basket a little bit more from where we are. And we identified certain things that we want to do. And now, obviously, the big thing is now to get those things over the line, you know, and in terms of where we want to be. But getting, you know, sitting there and actually finding the right strategy took some time. And also a strategy that makes sense to our shareholders, making sense to our, you know, to our people and making sense to, you know, we as a company, so that everybody support that.
Yeah, and it never stops, does it? Yeah. I mean, in mining, you think, gosh, we've got now most of the northern mines sorted out. Now let's go to south, the Valcom, and then something goes wrong there. There's never a dull moment, ever, ever.
Well, that's what makes our life so exciting, you know. Mm. I mean, it's important that, I mean, there will always be issues. I mean, that one must know. But, you know, like I said in my previous discussion with you, building relationships, focusing on the right things, being very principle orientated, that will stand you in good stead. And second to that is, you know, we have to fix infrastructures and things like that. Everything can be fixed. You can't just pray that nothing is going to happen. You have to constantly be able to focus and resolve on and making sure that you build a proper mine. The basics of mining never change. I mean, proper mines, proper fundamentals, always in place.
Coming back to your eighth principle, I think, around authentic leadership, is about not losing sight of the business principles. Yeah. And that's what you're saying there. Someone said this of you. I won't say who said it. The most consistent person I've had as a team leader. He makes some tough decisions with a smile and he plays the ball, not the man. An absolute pleasure to work for and with. So assuming or supposing this is the general view for a moment, okay, because a leader is never just popular. Does this come naturally? So that specific comment about you, is it something that's come naturally or did you actually consciously have to work on being consistent, on playing the ball and not the man or the woman, on being a pleasure to work for and with?
I think obviously you know, I'm naturally not the person that gets excited a lot, quickly, you know, because that's, you know, that's the way I am. But I also were very privileged to have some of the best mentors in my life. I worked for some of the worst, and I also worked for some of the best. And I always saw, you know, what makes things work and what makes things not work. One of the, you know, I can always say there's two people in my life that always been a fantastic influence in my life, and the one is a guy called John Moles, still in Varis, now retired person, excellent person that learned me a lot about mining, not being, you know, focusing on the individuals, on the issues, making sure that things are right. But the one thing he always learned me that mining fundamentals are about making sure that infrastructure work, making sure that your mining methods work, making sure you've got the right sticks, things in place, and so forth. So I was always following his footsteps. I was always very successful in the mines that I operated because I learned from the best operationally. From being those attributes I can easily also say about a person like Andre Wilkins, which also had a major influence on my life that I worked for many years for. Being consistent, being always finding the right, don't play the man, play the ball. I mean, that is the kind of person that learned me a lot about how to do that. And I saw how successful he was as a leader and as a mines, and the mines you operate and the operations that he runs and the companies you run. And he's been an unbelievable successful person.
How do you now? I mean, very often when people reach this sort of level of leadership, a listed entity, big company, they don't necessarily consciously work on themselves as a leader. Stay leadership fit, sharpen the saw. What do you do at the moment to keep yourself, let me use the word sharp.
Yeah, I think you should never be complacent, and I can't say you don't get. But I think importantly for you is to keep on listening, finding times and efforts to listen to people. And that's not that easily done as said. You know, in Sasol, I had a very, you know, because it's 8,000 people, you could get around to the mines. You know, I had mass meetings with everybody twice a year.
Sure.
Everybody in the organization. Mass meetings we've got here, we don't necessarily go to masses, but we get a really big audience of people in terms of having mass meetings and things in harmony. And I've done twice. What I'm trying to say is that you have to find a way to get to the people, actually listening to people, because that will make you sharp. I mean, that will make you, you're thinking about what, you know, what is right and what is wrong. It will influence that thinking. Importantly, yes, I mean, you have to work on yourself, not to be complacent and work with your people. And importantly, you must trust your people right below you, because, I mean, they're all very, very senior executives with a lot of experience, and you must give them an opportunity to really express himself.
To fly. I'm interested, where's the business going? Because of course the perception is gold mining seem to be shrinking, costs escalating, perhaps the risk increasing as you go deeper, those sort of things. So where is it going? Your vision, coming back to your first principle in authentic leadership, you need to have a vision. What is Harmony's vision? Where are we running to?
Harmony for many years, and I was there in the heydays when we did the 29 or 27 acquisitions in 9 years. I mean, that was we were 3.5 million ounce producer. We were in the top 5 in the world and that type of thing. I think we need to bring some of that back into Harmony. First of all, grow the company. We cannot keep on shrinking. We're going to shrink ourselves out of existence. We have to grow the company back to where we want to do. Then, obviously, there are limited growth in South Africa available. I think there's still opportunities in South Africa that we can still go and do as Harmony, as a company, that we will do very well in. But there are limited opportunities in South Africa. So we have to be able to spread our wings somewhere, you know, in other parts of the world. We've not been good at that except for in Papua New Guinea. I think our team in Papua New Guinea, originally under the leadership of Graham and then later on under the leadership of Johannes van Heerden, has done exceptionally well in terms of building a brand of Harmony in Southeast Asia, in Papua New Guinea specifically. I believe that the Harmony brand in Papua New Guinea is as strong as any other top company in Papua New Guinea. So we've done very well, but it took us 10 years to build that brand. It's not something that you just walk in and tomorrow it will be there. But we have to spread our wings into Africa, I believe. Of course, it's a natural extension for us, and we have to get there. There will be a day when the gold mining in South Africa will be extremely limited. You know, some of the long life operations will still be here, like Sepong, Pakisa, that kind of combination will still be here. You probably will have Kusasa Leto if the gold price really recover over a long time. Those long-term ore bodies will still be available, but there will be very limited ore bodies available. And gold mining companies have to go where the ore bodies are.
Yeah.
So we can't just, you know, we can't be picky in terms of where we want to go to. We need to go where the ore bodies are. We need to find a way to work there. And I think over years, Harmony has been able to really be able to, you know, work in any circumstances. And I think we can pride ourselves. And it's not been my build. I mean, I think it's the build of Graham and the rest of the guys over time. Is that we, you know, we are well respected in South Africa. We are well respected in Papua New Guinea where we operate, by government, by individuals, by communities, etc. So you know, we have to build on that, and we have to do the same and replicate it in many other parts of the world.
Mm. Where's gold going? I mean, it seems to go in the right direction, certainly for you guys. And didn't you find a good ore body in Free State? What was that about? I just read it somewhere.
Okay, let's get to that question first. I think that we always had that ore bodies. We didn't find it. We're just looking at a... there was some work done by an external company to look at the ore body and put the data together. But I think the ore body is always there. There's some extensions to that we actually want to drill and see if there's something better coming. So we're not sure if there's going to be there. It's really at, what we call it, an old Free State close to target, that area that we'd like to do. We do it with another company, you know, Australian explorer.
So you could strike gold there.
Well, hopefully we do. We don't know. Still early days, so we certainly want to do. Where is gold going? And obviously, you don't ask a gold miner that, because you always tell it's going up. But I think my personal view is that the dollar price will steadily go up, and it will be good. I think in terms of South African gold mining is concerned, I do believe that the rand is going to get stronger going forward. And I think we need to prepare for that. I believe that the kind of things that we have in South Africa and the new leadership in South Africa going forward will change. I'm pretty sure that the rand is going to get much stronger than it is at this point in time. So I think as a company, we need to prepare for that. So I think dollar price will go up, rand dollar exchange rate will come down, and it will probably be more of an equal than we are at the moment, and not necessarily be much higher as far as rand price is concerned. So that for that reason also, we need to expose ourselves to the dollar prices, and you know, to a certain extent, not necessarily the rand. I mean, I was in Harmony when the rand strengthened from 13 rand to the dollar to 6.5 and stayed there for 5 years, and actually put many of our shafts out of, you know, in negative territory at the time. Mm-hmm. It's a tough environment to be. Now, question is, you know, cancer, and that was under the regime of Thabo Mbeki, you know, the T's Trevor Thabo and Tito. I mean, those era, South Africa had a very strong currency.
Mm.
And I'm not so sure we're not going to be in this position and we're going to have a very strong currency again. I mean, you know, we have to, you know, that's my personal view of the future in South Africa.
Okay, I'm going to step you out of the gold mining industry, out of mining, in fact, as a leader who I'm sure you stick your feelers out in the general world, how the world has changed. How crazy or dynamic is the world we lead in today? I mean, you've been leading since young. Yes, in the mining industry, which is a very dynamic industry. Some might say, well, not technologically so advanced. And I don't know, there's lots of opinions. But the world, Peter, has changed frightfully so. Internet, the attitude of people, the politics, the society itself, economics. How crazy and dynamic is the world we lead in? Let's just talk about that in general for a minute.
Yeah, I think to me a few fundamental things have changed in the world. And the first thing is the so-called nationalism is coming back in the world. You know, where everybody used to be a global player, everybody works all over the world, any place you want to be. I think that's getting back. I mean, you just look at what the Brexit happened, you know, the fact that Trump was voted in. You can see in Europe itself, there's quite a few, you know, the right-wing people that in actual fact at this point in time is getting to the fore. I think that is it. The other thing is that there's a huge outcry in the world against inequality. Although the world gets more and more unequal, but there's a huge outcry out in the world that is against inequality, and something that we as leaders in the world need to address. social media and the way that people can communicate one another is it's not going to, I mean, it creates this huge problem. I mean, you saw the fees must fall in South Africa. We saw the, you know, the Arab Spring and things like that, where people just say enough is enough. We want like to have a more equal society. And I think going forward, you know, leaders and governments and things like that that actually can create a more equal society will stand in good stead, and that will be, you know, areas where it will be a lot better for people to live in. So I do believe we get a dynamic world. I think the dynamic world is good for gold because it creates uncertainty, and uncertainty is obviously good for gold, and that's why you see things are going there. But all in all, the world that we see today is going to be totally different from the world the other day. Interesting story, the other day I was driving in a car and I was listening on the radio. They talked about the 10 most popular jobs in the world. Jobs in the world that you, that people would, if you have actually those qualifications, you will never be without a job in South Africa. Most of them are IT-related things. And I was just thinking to myself, when I grew up, none of those jobs actually existed. Okay, so this is a changing world that we in actual fact live in. So, I mean, we had few things. You can either become an engineer or a dominie, or you can become a
teacher,
a medicine, studying medicine or whatever. These jobs that the people are talking about today that is the most popular job, didn't exist in my life. Now, the jobs that my kids or my grandchildren are going to do one day is going to be something that we don't even know about today. So the world is changing. It's a totally different world that we're living in, and it's changing at a hell of a pace. But it's exciting, eh? Isn't it great?
It is. And the question I have within this crazy environment that is changing at a breakneck pace, as they say, how do you keep your leaders, I'm talking in general, not just Harmony, but how do you keep your leaders' leadership fit to be able to lead in this very volatile, unsure, ever-changing, dynamic, people talk of the VUCA world. Mm. I don't even remember what the letters exactly stand for, but it's not easy. Business schools aren't cutting it necessarily. All the programs that people are not cutting it necessarily. Leaders are very unsure. And of course, when a leader comes across as unsure and unconfident, then it kind of filters into the rest of the business. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the first thing is that, we need to expose our leaders. I'm talking about from a very young age to the right type of leadership training, leadership exposure. The world has changed. I mean, I've been in the world, in the mining world now, so like I said, for many donkey years now. The type of leader that ran a business at the time when I was started the mining career was a total different type of animal than it is today. And today, a leadership will have these qualities that we talked about earlier. If it doesn't have those qualities, he will not be able to be successful. So you have to create the person, or you have to create the training and the exposure and the mentorship for that particular individual to get to that point. Most of our leaders in our environment is obviously technical people. They come from a technical background. They've been in technical leadership or technical skills training for a long time and up to a certain point, and then they have to get the leadership things going.
Often they lead a lot of people in your industry.
Yeah, and they lead a lot of people without necessarily having all of those technical training things that goes with that. My own career, I can say that I had a fantastic training all along. I mean, I was part of the Anglo training scheme, Anglo, graduate programs and Anglo leadership programs that was part of that. It was always fantastic training that we had and leadership skill training that we had. Somehow today, with all the pressures we have in terms of the cost pressures and stuff like that, we don't do so many of those. But we do a lot of that training in terms of leadership training. And again, if you look at Harmony specific, there's been a lot of leadership training. I think a lot of we're lacking the level below that in terms of training, because that is where 90% of our employees are exposed to the company's vision. It's really on a much lower level. And those people must be part of your dream and your thinking in terms of where you want to go. And we started now with programs to actually do that training to the first level supervisor, to make them more of a mentor coach, sharing a vision, being able to resolve conflicts and those kind of things.
Louis, before we ask Peter to share a message, you have any comments?
Peter, the concept of exposure, we had a process we started with Sabanya because they were a sponsor, is they brought the management that worked and with KIPS, a training system, to regularly attend sessions like this. Mm. because the idea with them would be they're exposed to core principles of real leaders as well. Then afterwards they have a discussion with those leaders. And they found exhilarating, that kind of exposure. Mm. Just bears out your point. Give exposure to these things. You can't leave it just down in the mind anymore. Those days are past.
Yeah, absolutely, no support there.
Okay, we have Peter Steenkamp, CEO of Harmony Gold, with me in the studio. He's going to share a message with South Africa. From the heart, his feelings and thoughts about principles, maybe issues that he thinks we as South Africans should be aware of. He is a leader who leads close to 30,000 people, and of course they have families all over the country. So they play a big role in the atmosphere, the attitude of South Africans. So Peter, your message to South Africa.
I just want to give you some thoughts about South Africa at the moment, and which things I'm extremely excited about in South Africa. I believe that South Africa has got a fantastic history lying ahead of it, or future lying ahead of it. I just look at, I've got teenage kids or kids in the 20s, and they've got many friends that are of race and colors and things of South Africa, and I look at how they interact with one another, and I've got so much hope for that if I see that. I think to me the most important things that we have, the fundamentals in South Africa that works for us as a constitution, is our democracy is working well. We've got a law style system in South Africa that actually operates extremely well. So I've got a lot of hope for the future in terms of that leaders will be accountable, that leaders will be brought to task in terms of what they need to deliver and what they won't deliver. The one issue I do believe in South Africa that we really need to address is the inequality issue and obviously the growth in the company to create jobs and those kind of things. Now, if we can't, we have to find a way of improving the GDP. We can't have a GDP in this country of 1% because then we'll be in big trouble going forward. And so we need to, as a country, and between business, government, just normal public, we need to be in a position that we actually grow this company. And for that reason, we need to create the opportunity for business to grow in South Africa. That fundamentals will come through, because without that, doesn't matter where in the history of every African country or any other country in the world, you get to the point where people will nationalize, people will then go back in terms of making sure that it's investor-friendly, that investors are actually into the country. So those circles will go. Hopefully in South Africa, we will be able to get that circle much quicker than we can find anywhere else in the world. And I think if one look at where we are at the moment, the youth of South Africa is going to make South Africa a much better place than we will ever make it, because our youth are strong, they are visionary, they are committed, and I think I believe South Africa has got a fantastic future ahead of it.
Thank you so much, Peter Steenkamp, CEO of Harmony Gold, for spending the last hour with us, the Leadership Master Lesson, and of course the leadership interview in general. We're grateful for that, and thank you for spending time with us today.
Thanks, Arjan.
Well, that was our Leadership Master Lesson. Stay tuned for the Business Masterclass in the next minute. And thank you for joining us today. Join us again next week. Bye-bye. Cliffcentral.com.